We are starting from Kabbalah for the Student, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, page 121, item 21. You can watch our lesson and send us your question to Kab.tv. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Kabbalah for the Student, page 121, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, item 21. And do not be led astray by the philosophers who say that the very essence of the soul is an intellectual substance and that it only exists through the concepts it learns, that it grows through them and that they are its very essence. And the question of the continuance of the soul continuance of the soul after the departure of the body depends entirely on the extent of concepts it has acquired. Until in the absence of such concept, there remains nothing to continue. This is not the view of Torah. It is also unaccepted by the heart. And anyone who ever tried to acquire knowledge knows and feels that the mind is a possession, not the actual possessor. But we have said that the whole substance of creation, both the substance of the spiritual objects and the substance of the corporeal objects, is no more and no less a will to receive. And although we said that the soul is entirely a desire to bestow, it is only through corrections of reflected light that is received from the upper worlds, from which it comes to us. Yet, the very essence of the soul is a will to receive as well. And the difference we can tell between... And the difference we can tell between one object and another is discerned only by its will. For the will, in any essence, creates needs, and the needs create thoughts and concepts so as to obtain those needs, which the will to receive demands. And as human desires differ from one another, so do their needs, thoughts, and ideas. For instance, those whose will to receive is limited to beastly desires, their needs, thoughts, and ideas are dedicated to satisfying that will to receive in its entire beastliness. And although they use the mind and reason as humans do, it is, however, enough for the slave to be as his master. And it is like the beastly mind, since the mind is enslaved and serves the beastly desire. And those whose will to receive is strong mainly in human desires, such as respect and domination over others, which are absent in the beast, the majority of their needs, thoughts, and ideas revolve solely around satisfying that desire as much as they can. And those whose will to receive is intensified mainly for acquisition of knowledge, the majority of their needs, thoughts, and ideas are to satisfy that desire as much as they can.
But nonetheless, Baal HaSulam, he calls all those desires animalistic desires. He's not saying human or anything. Definitions are definitions, and they have to be precise. So, what do the philosophers think? They say their opinion is that we do attain something from spirituality. Based on what? We talk, we think, we inquire. They don't understand that they're not inquiring nature, but only their philosophical brain. And they're not engaged in anything tangible or realistic, but only in the fantasies of their own that are not based on any practical research, but come only from their own thoughts. And so, this is how they talk about a person's soul. That is, if we're engaged in it, talk about it, we're already in contact with it. Whereas, Kabbalists say that it's all one big lie. No person has a soul. A soul means that you acquire the quality of bestowal, that it's above our desire, above our nature, that whoever reaches it, he does, and if you don't, you don't, and our entire existence will still have to examine. What does it mean, the existence in our times that we talk about in our life? But there's no connection between the animalistic life, meaning the animalistic desires, and the soul, because the soul is the desire to bestow, having nothing to do with these desires of ours. And so, you have to discern this part from that part, really by an iron wall, that either a person's in that part, that eventually it determines what's in the animalistic desires, or he controls them and all their actions, they have no weight compared to the will to bestow, the possibility of bestowal, where they are, that action, that desire is called soul, or nefesh ruach neshama chaya echida neran chay, in short, on all 125 degrees of it. Question? Any questions? Please.
Why is it concealed, the fact that the matter of the entire creation is no more and no less a will to receive?
Hidden? Why hidden? It's not hidden. If you're a researcher, you see that whatever form something has, it wants to pull good things to itself and emit bad things, harmful things for it. That's called, on the still level, there's the reciprocal attraction or rejection. There's also that in atoms, molecules, on all levels. You have this kind of work that the matter does on itself, that each one is drawn to the convenient most state from all the possibilities it exists in. That's called the will to receive on different levels. You don't see anything in the world around you besides the types and kinds of the will to receive that are constantly working every moment in their own favor. That's what you see. Look how matter works. You throw a rock, it falls. Water stands. A wind comes, wants to equalize pressures because it's better that way. It's rest. Everything. Every particle of creation, assembly of these particles, regardless of the form, and it could be still and vegetative, inanimate, and human, and this whole compound, integral compound, it all works, each part and all of them together want to bring themselves to the convenient most state. That's called the purpose of the will to receive. Show me some action that it's not that way. You always choose the least of two evils, and the better you can, everywhere, in everything. You see how the still vegetative and animate behave. In them, this law is expressed instinctively. That there is the general force of nature, like on the first, second, and third degrees that came out of the Shoresh, and the four phases of direct light. And only the fourth phase has a development of its own. It's on the stages of Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Daleh. There are still developmental phases which are instinctive without free choice, but are already passing emotionally. And there is still the development of the will to receive. Well, the will to receive develops in a way that it wants to develop itself, chooses where and what and how, and science and commerce and throughout history, until it reaches our times. And here it's the Dalet of Dalet, and we're in a special period in time. You see, only the will to receive in its entire thickness, in all of its cuts, with all of its history on all axes, whatever you want. You have nothing besides it and its actions. So you say, why don't we see the will to receive? What do you see altogether? What do you want to see? You don't want to see the will to receive. You want to see, what do I have from it? And not even from it. You're not asking about it. You want to enjoy, that's it. I enjoy ice cream. You're not aware that you're taking a piece of ice cream. You put it here, in some place called the throat. I don't know, a piece of flesh. Or a piece of flesh from yesterday. Yesterday I saw how you're eating. You put a piece of flesh inside the piece of flesh and you enjoy. So you're not aware of how it happens. That some piece of flesh enters here and you enjoy your piece of flesh. You're not going to inquire these things. You simply want to enjoy, like a baby. Like this, like this, like that. And to add research to it, so you'll know where, what, how. Why, what for? Main thing is the pleasure. When there's no pleasure, when there's a problem, when blows come, suffering, then I have to research. Why am I suffering? What to do? How to reach pleasure? And then the mind starts working because you have no choice. Therefore, on the one side, you add knowledge, you add reason, you add pain. But on the other hand, without pain, you don't come to reason.
Why is it concealed that a person wants only for himself, the intention where it seems to him sometimes that he also wants for the sake of others, for the sake of humanity?
Depends on the development of the fourth phase. I think that today it's already common around the whole world that everyone works in their own favor, in his own favor. There are no children, parents, love, nothing. No relations between countries, no one does favors for each other. Today, everything is more and more revealed as exposed naked ego, that it's the only thing that operates, we have nothing to hide. And on the contrary, because anyone who shows himself in a simple manner without, you know, coloring himself in nice colors, he's called more advanced, more modern. And I think it's good, it's correct. That's the revelation of evil. That's how it should be. Only what? It has to be balanced with reason, meaning that we research and we see that it is our nature. Not that then I let myself do whatever I feel like because I have to think about others, because they too can come and do on me whatever they feel like it should be. But I'm talking about the mental relation that finally I'm starting to attain, that I am a complete big fat egoist. Big and fat meaning in everything that I had. Could be big or small, but I mean in all my desires. and yearnings, meaning I don't take anyone into consideration, and if I do, it's because I'm not allowed not to take someone into consideration or something.
And why is it good to reveal something like that?
Because then you see that if it's without balance, then you see the state we're reaching. Everyone will eat the others like a dinosaur, like with the dinosaurs, what? So the strong, he who's strong, he has a lot of power, he has greater means, he will defeat the smaller, but the smaller also in the meantime, and like this, like that. A person, he can't be in war all the time. A person, he's a very gentle creature, very gentle. Can't be under big pressure, threat, all the time, can't. These kinds of people, they reach great crisis. Seems to us they're macho. No, it's not like the theater. Life is not the, it's not like in the movies. I met many such people. It's impossible. Impossible. And we also see that through history, all the wars, if you defeat someone, then eventually whoever you defeated at war, after the war, he defeats you. That's how it is. And today, altogether, what do you get as a result? You go to war against someone. What do you have in war? In the past, you wanted territory, you wanted technologies, you wanted oil resources, you wanted something, you wanted to control someone. Please go ahead, you can do it now too. If you have the strength, it's better for you to invest in industry, and by industry you can control everyone without endangering yourself, and more quickly. Because it's not worthwhile investing in war. Developing weapons, it costs a fortune, much more than industry. And then you take your weapons, you destroy the other. So what did you do? What did you acquire as a result? The ruins, and then you have to rebuild them. Meaning today war doesn't pay. Doesn't pay off. The moment through commerce and industry, exchange of goods limitlessly, boundlessly with people all over the world, the whole definition of war kind of disappears. Well, it's still present because there are many different kinds of civilizations, because there are civilizations that are 500 years back and even 2,000 years back in our world. But integrally, it becomes more and more, they come closer to one another. There's no point in making war. Only if our ego, all the Nazi regimes and everything can come only as a result of the distortion of the ego, because it's the ego that grows, and not because it pays off. Rationally it doesn't pay off. You can
invade
any place. Who's stopping you? Suppose the Chinese now, they're conquering Africa. Please, someone says no. They come, they build factories, everything, make money, everything. And what will you do? It becomes like your country. Maybe you pay another percent there for, you know, some tax or something. But the ego simply works everywhere and everything. Yes.
So how do we reveal the evil and not color it? You said that we're coloring it as if we're nice and beautiful. So how do we come to reveal the evil to reach a true need for correction?
By the crisis. That through the crisis, where does the crisis come from? The crisis comes in a state that we have full abundance. We have full abundance, we're smart, we have money, we have machines, we have natural resources, we have everything. And we are in a critical state. Everything we want to build, it destroys us, doesn't give us any pleasure. And here we reach the recognition of evil. That the relations between us are wrong, that our nature is wrong. Because all in all, we're not lacking anything. We have the mind and the heart, we're using them incorrectly. We have natural resources and technology and all we've developed. We're using it incorrectly, so what do? We're reaching a scrutiny, the right kind of scrutiny. What?
So what do we do then?
After the recognition of evil.
Yeah.
After the recognition of evil, they'll look for us. Nicely, I hope. Won't look for us, you know, like we're looking for someone. But before that, we too, we have to make an impact. I hope that after the Congress, we're going out for big actions around the world to bring them the knowledge about the presence of the method of correction. That it's there, that there is such a thing, that it exists. And also about the recognition of evil, it's not enough, we're not really aware of it. Yeah, but with half a word or something, but they don't have the means to cope with the general ego, with man's nature. If there are no means, then what's the point in talking about it? We'll go to different alternative methods, how to mitigate man's nature a bit. So through different circles, like this, like that, what can you do? Maybe culture, maybe something. I'll give them some pipe, I'll give them tranquilizers, I'll confuse them one way or another. How can you calm the ego down? What they're doing 100% correctly. They're making chaos, a whole mess. You see, there's mess in the whole world. Here, then there, then here. Why? To confuse people, because if they're not confused, then they have nothing to do. They start aiming themselves against the elites. So before that, the elites, through different planted agents that they plant in every society, they start making riots now. They're starting to make riots here in Israel through the immigrants. Then they'll do it through the Bedouins. Then they'll do it through someone else, something else, and that's how it is in every country. Like it was in Syria, they didn't start with that. Or in Algiers, and Egypt, and Tunis. Everywhere, that's how it is. It's very meticulous work done by the elites in Europe. That's how they work. Undoubtedly. They think that by that it's possible to somehow mitigate this thing so the ego won't be that organized. Because if these fallen behind layers, if they reorganize, they can destroy everything. So, therefore, you have to create chaos among them in different countries, in different ways. It's true what they think. That it comes to us, it's something else. They tried to do it with the riots that started, the social protest 3 or 4 years ago, but there it didn't work because it won't work with the people of Israel. There are different roots here. but with immigrants, the foreign workers, that's a problem. You have to do it differently. The same riots that took place overseas, the same thing here. They're controlled in a very obvious, meticulous manner, and here it's a different problem. It's not a problem with Jews. Here you have public opinion involved. They'll have to find a solution. I don't want to say, but they'll have to find a solution. Nonetheless, get rid of them. This is a country that is not built to absorb foreign people into it. There are also others like this. There are other countries in the world like this, especially here. In general, here is the place only for those who are drawn to correction. Okay, questions about the text.
He writes here in this paragraph that the renewed creation, what does it mean, the renewed creation?
I don't know where he writes. What does he write?
As explained, the whole matter of the renewed creation, both the corporal and the spiritual.
No more than the will to receive. Renewed, it means existing from absence, because existing from existence is the will to bestow. You take out two words and you ask accordingly. Is that serious? So let's continue.
Item 22. These three desires are mostly present in every person, but they mingle in different quantities. Hence, the difference from one person to another.
What three kinds of desires does he want to tell us about? The desire of the still vegetative and animate, that exists both in the surrounding nature and in each and every person individually. Right? So,
and from the corporal attributes we can deduce about the spiritual objects relating to their spiritual value. 23. Thus, human souls too, the spiritual ones, have only a desire to bestow contentment upon their making through the dress of reflected light received from the upper worlds from which they come. And that desire is their essence and the core of their soul.
We say that the nefesh is the will to bestow. Of course, it is the force and the will to receive in our matter, that over our matter comes the tzimtzum, the masach, the ochozel. And then this ochozel that comes as bestowal on behalf of man, it's called nefesh or neram chai, depending on the level. But it still rides on the will to receive.
It turns out that once dressed in a human body, it generates needs and desires and ideas to satisfy its desire to bestow to the fullest.
It means that this light clothes in the desire. That's clothing in the person, in the body. Is it clear or not? What, you still think that the human body is your flesh? Yes, Bensi.
How can we arrange correctly our approach to the text and read it correctly so that on the one hand they say,
guys, I'm really stunned today. I don't know what's going on with you. When it says body, you think about the flesh. When it says nefesh, you think that inside the flesh you have some things like jumping around in there.
On the one hand, do only what your eyes can see. On the other hand, we have to be disconnected from all these concepts. So where does it escape from us in between those two edges?
What your eyes see, they see the corporeal world in which you are. If you want to investigate something, do it in the spiritual, in the corporeal world. Now we're talking about something that is above the corporeal world. If you want to learn the corporeal world, go back to the university. If you want to learn about the spiritual world, you sit here and study. And then it's not set before your eyes because you still don't see it. You still have to acquire a kind of vision through which you will see the spiritual world. It's not a corporeal sight. It should be the spiritual sight. But you're told that like you have a body and the life inside the body, you also have the spiritual body and the life inside the spiritual body. The spiritual body is called bestowal. That which fills the quality of bestowal is called the spiritual. The spiritual life, it's called... what is the spiritual body of so? The Ochozeo. Ochozeo. It's called the spiritual body. Because to the extent of the Ochozeo, you have the feeling of your spiritual body. As much as Ochozeo as you have, by that you're drawn to bestow onto others, and your bestow onto others is your soul. As much as you're in everyone, that's where your soul is. Not in you, not in the flesh. This flesh lives and dies. It's alive and necessary only for that time that you need in order to nullify your will to receive. Afterwards, you don't need the flesh. Even before that, you felt that you don't need it, but you still need it because the new will to receive is constantly revealed. But eventually, the moment you get the very first spiritual degree, you start understanding that it has nothing to do with your flesh. It's a kind of a state prior to the revelation. So you have to be in a certain state from which you enter the revelation. That you express there are certain conditions that have to be in the revelation. You're standing before the door and you're told that you have to enter this door if you have a ticket. So give a ticket or something and you can go in. You say, I don't have a ticket. They say, go work, make money, bring a ticket. Suppose to get into the theater, go work, buy a ticket, come in. So you have to go to some place where you work, buy a ticket, and then you come in. So we're talking about what happens after the door, inside that world. Okay? No? Ask.
He gave us here in the beginning of this Arem a warning from philosophers. They're talking about things they do not attain.
They're all in all living in imagination. You're coming down and you say, I don't want to talk about more than I feel. You're right. Don't be in this, at least you won't be wrong. Because here you have the mind, the feelings, and then you're not wrong, at least like people in our world. Why are philosophers wrong? Because they're talking about things that they don't feel, that are not in the range of their senses, and then they philosophize about things that they have no grasp about whatsoever. Ooh. What's good about it? That they're being paid for it in the meantime, and that's the good, and they have some kind of a desire to belong to that. A person is drawn to hold on to spirituality without any grasp in spirituality. That's why Kabbalists really hate philosophy, and in each one of us there is that philosopher sitting inside him. Because we also want to attain without exertion. And to philosophize without any grasp. But we have to put everything in place, even though this is what I'd want, but this is my ego. And the truth is that we'll not talk about anything unless we attain it.
לא מגדירו בשום המילה.
what you don't attain, you can't define it by name. So there's this and that. And therefore we hate the philosophical approach and we hate the philosopher inside each one of us, and the philosopher exists in each of us because the person he is included from the whole world. So of course it's going to be revealed and you have to destroy him, the philosopher. So it's like we talked about on the workshop today, that only what I feel from my heart, only that's the only thing I can talk about. Yes.
So we started by saying that a person gets really upset that he hears that he has no soul, because he says,
it doesn't matter if he becomes angry or not. Doesn't he become angry if you, as a doctor, God forbid, tell him that he has cancer?
Yeah, but he says, then what is living in me and thinking in me?
Lives and thinks, so what?
So distinguish between him and the body, that he has a soul and a body.
Where do I have a soul from?
This is how people think like.
Okay, it's allowed to think that. You're not imprisoned for it.
But we want to connect between people and the soul.
So don't tell him if he has or doesn't. In the meantime, don't tell it to him what you heard from me from the first day you're here, that you have no soul. No. After his person's already on the way, understands a bit, feels a bit, prepares himself and starts seeing spirituality, he has not yet really attained it. You can explain to him also, more or less, that he has no soul. And believe me, that it'll take a lot of time before he will really attain that he has no soul. He'll attain it the very moment he attains he has no soul. It always has to be a thing and its opposite. We always attain something when we attain its opposite, in the connection between them.
We're going to have the Zohar Congress saying that a person can acquire his soul, a real soul, all at once,
right. A person can buy his whole world in one hour.
So how do you want to connect people who don't think that they have a soul or that are sure that they have a soul?
Look, I'm not telling him. We're not explaining to him that he has nothing. The problem is not that you're saying that you don't have. So I don't have $1 million. But the foundation for the $1 million, $1. Maybe I do have. So you're saying there is he who buys his whole world in an hour. So I have a bit, but here I can buy a lot. It's no problem. By that you pull him. The main thing, that if you tell a person that you have nothing, and on the contrary, you're opposite to spirituality and the soul and everything, you're opposite to it. So you're not saying that he has some contact with it and he can acquire the world, but you're saying that he doesn't even have contact with it, that there's nothing. That's a problem. That's a big trauma. And it's forbidden to tell people that. But really? Who deserves it and who doesn't forget? Who does it come to? Those that are already with us and they have the possibility to acquire a lot on one Congress.
I know people, I know they hear us, they hide behind the screens, they never come, and they say, I'm with you, I know that I have a soul, but what should I acquire during the Zohar Convention?
The revelation of the higher world, the revelation of everything. You want to see heaven? Go ahead, please. Quality of bestowal, that's called Eden. The Malchut that rises there, it's called Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. The Chokhmah that is revealed there, it's called Eden itself. You're not lying. It's really how it is. He'll be integrated in the workshops. He'll really feel taste of bestowal, taste of spirituality. Yes.
Daniel from Romania is asking, can a person get a soul anywhere, or only two people and more can get a soul?
We don't want to mention all the times that we're talking about the collective, to the extent to which a person is drawn to the collective existing in the Shekhinah. That's where he discovers it. He can't discover it as an individual. He has to discover it as an individual that exists in the collective. No other option. How will he discover it? He has no kli. The kli is called the extent of bestowal that a person has. What extent of bestowal do I have? What quality of bestowal do I have? 10 kilos. What, where, how, in what way? You have to realize it. You have to bring it to revelation.
Yesterday, a friend asked me if I want to register with him to the Congress. We're sitting by the computer. And when I did it, it was very easy to register with someone else. Yeah, when you do it together, when you're sitting next to a computer, and he told me you want to register, let's be done with it. And it was the first time that it was easy for me to register for a Congress. Every time I knew that I was coming,
you're even in the desert with us.
Yeah, in every Congress, even 2 years ago in the exhibition gardens, this action of getting into the computer and putting in my data, I postponed it as much as I could. I didn't want to do it.
What is it? Is it something psychological? Please tell me. I would run first to do it. I can do it now. Maybe later there won't be place left or time or something. Something that is close, important. I want to be as close as I can to it. When there is a long line, I want to be first if it's something important. If you're getting presents, not blows, you want to be first.
Yeah.
So if you... if you want to stand at the end of the line, what does it mean? That it's something frightening, repulsive, repugnant, what? It's natural, that's how it is. So how was it before?
It was like walking around next to the cashier, meaning not to buy, rather hang around it.
So that, what is it, fear?
This is what I'm asking.
I don't know why. I know that I would run first. I would throw all the others and buy it immediately. That's it. First row, on my own. By myself, really.
I'm asking, now there is someone who knows he will be there. He is... He has time free, he wants to go there, he didn't register. Something in him doesn't let him do that. Why should I do it now instead of later? I can't be the first.
No importance. No importance. Not afraid of losing something. Something that's important, I want it here and now. Please, the ticket. At least... know for sure. Register. How many people are there in the world that can't make it? You know, it's a great sorrow for me to hear about it. But it really, it costs so much money, and there are those that can't because of work. But really, these are amounts. These are great sums of money. It's really unjustified what the airline companies are doing, really. I don't know how to help. I'll go there myself, to South America especially. Well, North America, it's also not everyone can. The situation there is very hard. But South America, for sure. It's $2,000 to come here. What person can allow that to himself there? And I'm talking about Australia. Okay, I really hope, and this time, because we put all the money into the building, we don't have the means as we had with the help of Chavel in the previous years. We have only a few thousands of dollars there in that piggy bank. And you can't ask more from people because they donated for the building, and that's it. The situation is much harder than before. So we can't help the friends. Like in the previous states, we can, cut the fee of the Congress somehow, but also we have to pay for all these things, but somehow. That's a problem. So really, it's a big sorrow. When I see the numbers and the emails that reach me and I can't do anything, I only promise that if a person made all the efforts and still he can't make it here, I'll do everything in order for him to get the entire fulfillment wherever he is. Fulfillment. His impression will be different, but his sorrow, along with our effort, will do the work. But it's on condition that he makes an effort and he can't. This effort and our inclination.
A student from Israel is asking, what is the difference between the approaching Congress and the Congress we had before? Why do we will get a revelation now, specifically?
Look, the upcoming Congress and the upcoming Congresses and those that were and will be in this Congress, every time it's something new. You know this, especially now that we're starting with engaging in... it's a completely new phase. We entered a new building. It's influencing us. We're influencing it. This is serious. We put a lot of efforts in here. Now we're bringing thousands of people here. We're going to the Arava. We're coming back here. We live here. We're living here for 2 weeks. Hundreds of people. Around it, we have different activities. You know what happens after a Congress, before the Congress. Not only when we're there or something, but it's a lot of activities for plenty of people. It's something that gives a lot of strength. How to prepare the people for it. See, how do we work with the right intention for us to concentrate everything together, hold them, give a form to this whole connection, to the great flock. They're also not all connected to us like they should be. They come out of, good desire, but there's work to be done. We have to prepare ourselves for it. And I think that all this adds a lot. There was never such a Congress, such preparation. We always raise in holiness, and let's hope that this time we'll reach the holiness.
Few announcements. A personal encounter with Rav Lightman in Carmel next Tuesday, January 14th, 7 p.m. There's a personal encounter with Rav Lightman in Carmel. Admission is free. The series of the new Zohar for all books before the World Zohar Convention 2014, we have a new edition of Zohar for all books. We learn with it with our daily morning lesson. You can get the books at the Congress. Register in advance at 1-700-5929. The Arava Convention 2000 and friends and groups before the Zohar Convention, we are going to unite in the desert. The Men's Congress will be held in the Antilopes Farm and for the women in the new building in Petah Tikva, 31st January to the 1st of February. The World Zohar Convention, Unity Changes Reality. Friends, groups and viewers, we're happy to invite you to the World Zohar Convention 2014, a Congress of Unity and Spiritual Advancements, February 5th to the 7th. Exhibitions Garden, Tel Aviv. Thank you and have a lovely, lovely day. We will become together as one.
We'll be forever connected. Всю силу любви хотим обрести, объединившись навеки.
ולא חשוב מה שקורה בחוץ, כי העיקר נמצא בינינו.
Cuando nos unimos juntos, nuestro amor gobernará.
אותה משפחה, אותה הרגשה, מעל הפער שבינינו.
The higher we go, reaching our souls, we will reveal the connection.
Неважно, что там происходит вокруг, а важна связь между друзьями.
Я un capares, como un malestar, nuestra actitud controlará.